Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you for that introduction. I'm glad to be on the air. It's a lovely, beautiful day in Chicago, and it looks like I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to take a quick break right here, and I will be back as soon as I can get some of these things straightened out. Be right back. Stay with me. Stay with me. Hey, this is George Wilder Jr., your radio host here. If you are an avid reader, or you just love to read in general, check out my Amazon page at www.amazon.com/author/G Wilder, or pull up the Amazon website and check out all the material that I have produced. Or you can go to Amazon in general and just type my name into the space bar above, and all of my material should materialize right in front of your eyes. Wow. Some of the stuff that you can download and check out, Ain't That a Groove? It's action, romance, Back in the Groove, action, romance, Echoes of My Sin, my autobiography, I Got Stung, and a lot of others that you can check out.
A lot of others.
I do essays, novels, short stories, and I think I do a good job at them. And you can always go and check those things out and give me some feedback. You know, hook me up with some feedback. I'm always looking for feedback on anything that I do, even on the radio show. Give me feedback on the radio show. What do you think about the radio show? Okay, I got to get back to the radio show. Speaking of radio show, I got to get back. All right.
It is such a beautiful day in Chicago, and I hope it's even a greater day where you are. It's 72 degrees in Chicago, 72 degrees, and it's 6:03 straight up Chicago time, 6:03 p.m. straight up Chicago time. I'm in my studio, as always, looking out onto the Broadway. I'm closer than ever, near Lake Michigan. It's beautiful, and always that cool breeze coming off the lake. So this is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. If you don't have time to listen live, you can always listen, archive the shows, and it seems like you've been doing that. And that's great. That's great. Recording the show, listen to it at your own convenience. Anytime you want to. It's always there. It's always there. My show is always there. Okay, it seems as though it's been There's no doubt about it. Obama has had a great week of victories. In 1 week, he has, been such a big winner on all of these things. You know, he seals his legacy. His legacy is there. I mean, these are big stories in the media, so I have to kind of cover them or give some sort of announcement to them, because this is what's happening. I mean, he has. Well, I mean, if you think about all his victories, the gay marriage thing, the Supreme Court, okay, health care, fair housing, Confederate flags come down. These are all Obama's victories. The TPP, it passed. The Republicans kept resurrecting that and resurrecting that after it died so many times in Congress. They kept resurrecting it, and now it is passed, and Obama was pushing it. I'm not saying it's good for America, but it's a victory for Obama, and you have to give it to him. Because, like I said yesterday on the show, people love winners, and he's a winner. His legacy is sealed. I mean, 100, 200 years from now, people are still going to be talking about Obama and his victories. Of course, there's going to be his critics. Of course, there's a lot of critics out here right now bashing him for these wins. And who the person they should be bashing is John Roberts and the Supreme Court. You know, because they had a chance to gut this thing, but they didn't. They had a chance to gut health care, but they did not. These are things that Obama has been, you know, touting for years and years and years and years. So, you know, if you think about it, health care is here to stay. Gay marriage is here to stay. Marriage equality, that's here to stay. Now all we need is a minimum wage, a livable wage to be here to stay, you know, for working people. But this TPP thing that is passed, that's not good for working people. But you got to give it to Obama. The guy, and he's all smiles. He's on TV, the internet, the newspapers. He's all smiles, and he should be. And he's going around the media, you know, bragging about these things, that they're good for America. You know, so, I mean, he's a winner. Even if I may not agree with some of the stuff, some of the things you may not agree with, some of the things he's done, but there's people out there who are praising him. You just can't, you know, you got to give up a little bit of ground and say, hey, wow, the guy is a winner. He may go down in history in some circles as the greatest president ever lived, but you know what? His signature laws like health care, victories on gay marriage within the Supreme Court. Now it's the law of the land, but you still have critics. There's still people out there who's going to try to fight it. There's still people who will not accept it, no matter what, and they're going to fight it. Like I said yesterday on the show, anything that can be done can be undone. Do not let any politician tell you, well, it's a done deal, there's no changes, we can't do that. If you did it, if you implemented it, if you put it in place, it can be undone, no matter what it is, a law, a bill, or anything, undone. Gay marriage can be undone. Health care can be undone. The Confederate flag can go back up. You know, anything that's done can be undone. I'm not saying that we should work on trying to undo a lot of things that Obama has done and prevailed on. All I'm saying is that anything that can be done can be undone. I'm talking about specifically, the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That's a trade deal. That's a deal that's going to take jobs overseas. Obama championed that. I'm pretty sure some of you know about that. He championed that. And like I said, the Republicans kept killing the bill. The bill kept dying when they tried to pass it. But they wanted this bill so bad because the bill was actually, I keep saying bill, but I need to say deal. The deal was drafted by corporations. The deal was drafted by rich people. You and I did not get a chance to see it. We heard about it through leaks And Obama was pissed off because there were so many leaks about this transposition partnership. Some people called it fast track. Fast track because it was done in secrecy. That means you and I didn't get to see it. They didn't want us to see it. We voted for this guy twice, and they wouldn't let us see the bill to try to approve it or disapprove it. But there's so many people coming out against it. The Republicans and Obama passed this atrocity onto the American worker. This is the only thing I'm criticizing him for, and I'm also criticizing him. It's not the only thing I'm criticizing him for. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, Fast Track, and I'm also criticizing him for not doing as much as he could for the black community, giving it lip service, you know. So, but, you know, I got to take my hat off to the guy. He's a winner. He's totally a winner. He kicked his Republican opponents in the butt. Not allies, but opponents, okay? So he kicked them in the butt. And you got to give it to him for that. So the Republicans are pissed off about that. I mean, any victory for Obama is like, you know, I mean, it just drives them nuts, especially Fox News. I mean, these people are going haywire over there, sprouting out the lies and blaming Obama for everything. But you know what? All of that doesn't matter anymore. And the Republicans are going around, you know, lambasting their own because they supported this. You know, I mean, they're whipping the hell out of the people who supported it. And the people who supported it, are their allies, their friends, the people, their co-workers, and things like that. So, you know, I mean, you got to give it to the guy. I mean, I have to take my hat off to him, even though I am not so much in awe of Obama, you know. So, but like I said before, and like we all know, the guy, his legacy has been sealed. He's going to be in the history books for this. You know, whether you dig gay marriage or not, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, it's here. Unless something drastic is done, and I mean totally drastic, to overturn it, which I don't think is going to happen. You know, it's going to take a lot to do that. I don't think it's going to happen even when Obama is out of office in 2016. The only way some of these things can be overturned that Obama has claimed victory for in the last week is through a Republican president and a Republican legislature in the U.S. Congress. I guess what I'm saying is everything turned Republican in 2016, there's a chance for a lot of this stuff to be overturned because they're being controlled. But I don't think they're going to overturn TPP, Fast Track, because they keep touting to everyone that it's you can't undo it. Once this, you know, in the law books, it's there, you know, trade. And it's awful. They're trading with Vietnam, China, you know, most of the stuff in your house is, you know, we don't make anything here anymore. We don't make anything anymore in too much more in the United States. Everything is made abroad. Everything is made in some other country. The reason why countries trade with the United States because, and the United States trade with other countries is because of low wages. Obviously, it takes jobs away from the United States. So if you're out there working every day and you feel like your job is safe, no job is safe because that business or that company could pack up and go overseas because of why? Why? Because it's cheap labor. I mean, if you're making $15 over here, making clocks, someone in Vietnam can make that same clock with less effort for 69 cents an hour. Now, you compare that 69 cents an hour to $15 an hour, that's quite a bit of savings, and that's one of the reasons why countries leave. Not countries, but businesses leave the U.S. And we got to try to keep businesses here in the U.S. so we can keep Americans working. And that's The main reason why I don't like the trade bill, I'm not by myself. I mean, you got Elizabeth Warren, you got Bernie Sanders, you got some of the other presidential candidates out here that didn't like the bill. Hillary Clinton said she didn't like it, but she took her time to say she didn't like it, though. It took Bernie Sanders to get it out of her because he's coming up in the polls behind her, and there's a possibility that Bernie that Bernie will wind up being president of the United States. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? The guy, I just love this guy, and I give money, and I'll give more because I want to see him president. I don't want to see Hillary president, and I got my reasons for it, and I'm pretty sure you got your reasons for that. But one of the things we have to do to make a change in this country, in America, we have to vote. I mean, I say this almost every day on this show. We have to vote. We didn't vote last time. That's why we have all these Republican governors who are doing such dastardly deeds to the people of their state. Voter suppression. Union busting. Cutting funding to vital programs for needy people. And more. We did not vote in 2014, November 2014, for whatever reason. But if you want to make some changes to this country, and we all know what Republicans in Congress are like, these guys get a hold of this country, we're done. We're done. They're going to run us out of the country, and the rich people are going to control it. They already control it, but they're going to control it even more. They don't care anything about you and I having to go to work every day. They do not. You're not rich. I'm not rich. The people over there, they're not rich. The Republicans do not care. You don't give to their, you can't give to their campaigns. You're not one of their donors, rich donors. You're out here struggling to make ends meet. They don't care. You're on Medicaid or Medicare, and you need that assistance to stay alive. They don't care. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is a beautiful day, a beautiful time. I'm glad to be here. You can always archive this show and stay with me. Stay with me. Okay, I want to do this. I want to say something about, let me see. I'm still here, a little dead air, but I am still, I just got through saying something. I just picked up something, jobs overseas. I just said it, it's cheap labor. And I don't see why Obama worked with the Republicans. The Republicans love the bill. They love it. Obama, he's going around espousing that it will not take jobs away. But every trade bill that's been done in the history of the world, the history of America, has taken jobs away. China. There's plenty of U.S. jobs over in China. China makes the computers. They make iPhones, smartphones, computers. They make radios, televisions, clothes. And they ship them back over here so we can buy them, wear them, and use them, utilize, whatever product they make. These are U.S. companies over in China. And now they're talking about Vietnam and the Philippines. These countries are poor. They live off 50 cents or less sometimes an hour. This is why companies move overseas. Cheap labor. They get rich. Like I said before, an employee at McDonald's pay more in taxes than a billionaire does. Donald Trump pays no taxes, but that person over at McDonald's flipping burgers and making French fries pay more in taxes than Donald Trump or any other billionaire. These guys keep their money overseas in Swiss bank accounts so the U.S. government can't touch it. But however, if we want to get this country back on track, we have to vote. We have to vote. We have to be, like Elizabeth Warren said, we got to be mad as hell and not take it anymore. Because if we keep taking it, the bad guys are going to keep giving it. And we shouldn't do that. Okay, on the show today is going to be Dr. Sally Burbank. And she's going to talk about diabetes, which is something that's taking a lot of lives. And we're going to see if we can't save a few lives today. If you're out there listening, you know, if you don't, listen later, archive the show. It'll always be there for you. But this is serious. This is something serious. And I'm going to take it serious, and we're going to talk about it as a serious disease within the United States, preferably, and moreover, around the world, you know. So stay tuned for that. Stay with me for that. And, you know, and we're going to move right along here. Okay, I'm looking at something that says, okay, Bill Maher calls out Republicans for valuing corporations over people. Oh, man, they've been doing that for years. Okay, he's a celebrity, he's a comedian, and his face is always on Huffington Post. And he calls out the Republicans for corporations over people. They've always done that. Like I said before, it's corporations who made this bill, who created and drafted this TPP fast track bill. It was Republicans, and Obama went along with them. He loved it. He wanted it. But the American people did not want it. This is something that was perpetrated on the American people without their input, without their knowledge, without us being involved in any way. So, Obama, he values corporations over people. Obama is corporate. There's no doubt about that. He's Wall Street, you know. He's up there with the rich guys, and the poor guys are the one who voted him in the office. We did. We voted him there. Can't make changes to this country. You just have to exercise your right to vote. Coming 2016, the Republicans are going to try to suppress the vote. They're going to try to stop you from voting. Because if they know that they can stop you from voting, they will get into office. I've said this 1,000 times. If you do not vote when you are supposed to vote, that's a vote for a Republican. Don't do nothing. Don't do anything. And that's a vote for a Republican. Oh, I'm not going to vote. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to watch Batman. That is a vote for a Republican. You stay there on that couch and you watch some silly movie or some silly show when your life is going to be torn apart by cuts in services, losses of jobs, and more. It's your fault. It'll be your fault this happened. And it can happen. And it has happened. For the life of me, I don't know how all these Republican governors are in these governorships around the country. But if I think about it, it's because people did not vote. And we don't vote. And some people, you know, withhold their vote. And they act like they and like it gives them some kind of strength to withhold their vote. I'm not voting. Uh-huh. You got your kid in a daycare center? Well, if you don't vote, that Republican is going to cut the funding from that daycare center, and your kid is going to have to come up out of there, and you have to work every day. Who's going to keep your kid? Who's going to babysit for you? You know, you have to think about what you do and what you do not do. It's going to affect you. And that's why I said yesterday, I don't see why some people try to run away from the reality that politics affect them. Because, I think when I was around 15 or 16, I didn't think I would be affected by what they did in Washington. I was naive. I didn't think that. I heard a lot about what was going on. But I was a kid just running around the block or whatever. I didn't think that I would be affected. But it didn't take me too long to realize, yes, it affects me. What they do and what they do not do in Washington and in some of these local communities and political office around the state, around the city, it will affect you. Schooling, for instance. The schools in Chicago are in disarray. For a while, we didn't think the schools were going to open up in August and September until Rauner signed the bill. He didn't want to do that, but he didn't want to be blamed for schools not opening. He didn't want to be to blame for that. That's why he did it. But that doesn't mean the schools are out of trouble. They are still in deep, deep trouble. They're talking about 40 kids in a classroom. You know, so that's bad. I mean, you got 40, 50 kids in the classroom. That's going to be hard for that student to concentrate, to stay on task, to learn. It's going to be rough because they're thinking about, or they said, I've heard that 3,000 teachers are going to be laid off. I don't know if that's around Illinois or if it's just Chicago. I have to find that out. 3,000 teachers. That's awful. That's awful. And that's all Bruce Rauner is doing. He is cutting programs, eliminating funding, letting the funding dry up. And when it does dry up, professionals wind up out of work. Doctors, lawyers, psychiatrists, sociologists, and others, they wind up out of work because the mental health centers are closing. And every other social program closing. They're going to cut SNAP benefits. That means food. People are not going to be able to buy as much food as they once did. Medicaid is going to be cut. People aren't going to be able to go see a doctor because Medicaid is not going to pay its bills, will not be able to pay its bills. It's just awful. It's awful. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. And, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm just talking. I'm not just talking here. I'm not just talking about what's going on. We have to put some effort behind what we say. And I do. I put effort around what I'm talking about. If I bring up a problem, I'm going to try and solve that problem. You know, I'm going to come up with solutions to solving a problem, like the crime in this city, Chicago. I've come up with dozens and dozens of solutions to the crime problem in Chicago. I've tried to come up with all kinds of solutions to the homelessness, poverty. Essence doing something about what I'm trying to say. I try to put action behind my words because without action, words are just words. And the problems are going to exist. We have to do something about what's going on in this country. You are not powerless. You are not voiceless. You have the right of voting these people out of office. These people in the House of Representatives, they make $174,000 a year. That's taxpayer money. We send these people to the United States Representatives. We send them to Congress for 2 years. Every 2 years, they have to be voted in or voted out. So we have some people we're going to try to get out of there because they voted for this fast track. Voting for fast track, you're voting against working people. You're voting against people who are struggling. You're voting for people who are in need. You're voting against the homeless. So like I've said a million times before, They do not represent you if they're going to Congress and voting against you, voting against your interests, voting against your values, your ideals. We have the power in our vote. We can do this. We can do this. But we can't sit back and just let things happen. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It's a great day. It's a great time. I feel good, you know, and finally, it feels like springtime. It does. It feels like springtime. It's 71 degrees. However, it's supposed to be summer, but it feels like spring. Something is not right here, but it's a better day than some of the other days. It has not rained yet. I don't want to say anything too fast because it might just start. So I don't want to do that, okay? This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. So I have a caller on the line. I'm going to take this call. I got a feeling I think I know who it might be. Hold on. Hi. Hi, caller. How you doing?
Hi. This is Dr. Sally Burbank calling.
Hey, it's nice to have you back. Thanks for coming. Thank you so much.
It's good to talk with you again, George.
It sure is. It really is. And how's the weather? How's things going?
It is as lovely here in Nashville as it is in Chicago, apparently. It is just like a balmy spring day, and all my flowers are in bloom, so I'm a happy camper.
That's nice to hear. I mean, it's great here. It just feels more like I just got through saying, it feels more like it does summer, but we've had a lot of gray and cloudy and rainy days, so this is a step upwards. It's okay. It really is. Okay, let's get right to the point here. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right, we're going to talk about diabetes. So can you tell my audience what exactly is diabetes?
Yes, it is a condition that is caused by malfunction of the pancreas gland, which is a gland that puts out insulin and glucagon. Those are two hormones. There are two types of diabetes. There's a type 1 that is traditionally seen more in kids and is due to an autoimmune condition where the cells in the pancreas, the beta cells, get destroyed and the kids can't make insulin at all, and so they end up having to be on insulin for life. The more common type is what we call adult onset or type 2 diabetes, and that's where we either just don't put out enough insulin or our ability to make enough insulin declines due to obesity and other factors, and the net result is it causes elevated blood sugars and the long-term complications and problems that come from having elevated blood sugars.
And what are some of the symptoms of diabetes?
Well,
how would a person know if they have it?
Right. Unfortunately, it is a silent killer because a lot of the less severe cases may not have any symptoms. And so a lot of diabetics go undiagnosed unless their doctors specifically check their fasting blood sugars, or maybe if they have a family member who's diabetic and so they periodically check their own blood sugar, which by definition, if it's over 125 fasting, and by that I mean first thing in the morning when you haven't eaten since last night, it should be less than 125. And there's a lot of people who walk around with blood sugars of 130, 140 in the morning, have absolutely no idea they're diabetic. But as it gets more severe, as the blood sugars get up to 160, 180, and certainly over 200, they begin to have severe urine frequency where they're going to the bathroom a lot. They're thirsty. Mm-hmm. They can lose weight, and they can become extremely tired from getting a bit dehydrated. And then, of course, in worst-case scenarios, their sugars can get dangerously high, and they can end up in the hospital, you know, with a coma or a near coma if they don't get medical attention in a timely fashion. But that's much rarer these days. More often now, it is people gradually gaining weight as they become adults, and maybe it runs in their family, and they're just kind of tired all the time. And they may not be aware anything's wrong with them other than they're tired. And unless they get looked specifically for it, they can often go years undiagnosed. So it is something that both the patient and the doctor has to have a high incidence or a high suspicion rate for it. So, for example, I automatically check fasting glucoses, and I check a test called the hemoglobin A1C, which measures the average blood sugar over 3 months in all of my obese patients or in those who have family histories of diabetes, because the risk is so much greater in those who are obese and in those who have family histories of diabetes.
How does food play a part in this?
Food plays a part in it by causing obesity. So it is not true that just drinking, say, Coca-Colas and Twinkies will make you diabetic unless said Twinkies and Coke make you fat. And so there are plenty of slim people who eat rotten diets full of sugar and carbs who aren't diabetic. The indirect way these foods cause diabetes is that they're calorie dense. There's not a lot of nutrition, and especially the sugared sodas and the sweet tea that's popular in the South, certainly all the ice cream and cookies and stuff like that, you know, tends to have a lot of calories in it compared to all the steamed vegetables and grilled salmon that we should be eating. And so we tend to get fat as a society. In fact, about 50% of Americans are now overweight. And so that puts us at a gradually increasing rate for diabetes, and the risk directly correlates with the amount that we gain. So even a 20-pound weight gain can double your risk for diabetes. Likewise, a 20-pound weight loss, if you maintain it, can cut your risk for diabetes. So it directly correlates more with weight than it does necessarily with the diet. Now, having said that, if someone already has glucose intolerance, meaning that their sugars may not be normal, but they don't technically meet the criteria for diabetes, let's say maybe they have a fasting sugar of 110, which is not normal, it should be below 100, but they're not 125, so they're not diabetic. For those people, their diet can tip them over the edge. That same individual, because their sugar of 110 fasting shows that they have a sick pancreas. It may not be shot, you know, if you will, it's kind of limping along on three legs. It's not fully diabetic, but it's sure not healthy. And so those individuals, if they're eating a diet that's full of donuts and Coca-Cola and ice cream and strawberry daiquiris and just, you know, loaded with sugar and even just carbs. I mean, it can be your bread, your potato, your rice, your pasta. Those foods are loaded with carbohydrates, and carbs are the foods that raise blood sugar. So, you know, it is not your chicken, turkey, fish, or tofu, or fat-free, you know, cottage cheese that raises your blood sugar. It's not your steamed vegetables. It's pretty much your rice, potato, pasta. I tell people white foods, with the exception of cauliflower and maybe skim milk and fat-free cottage cheese, but pretty much any food that has white sugar and white flour in it is loaded with carb, and those are the foods you want to try to minimize. And so that's how diet directly affects it, that if someone has kind of a sickly pancreas, they're not diabetic yet, but it isn't a healthy pancreas, if you start dumping a bunch of, you know, big platefuls of spaghetti and then have some garlic bread with it while you're at it, you know, or at tailgate parties, let's eat a bunch of chili and cornbread and a couple of beers. You know, that kind of thing is loaded with carb, and it will raise the blood sugar, and then that will internally turn around and damage the pancreas more, because it makes the pancreas work harder. When you dump a huge sugar load on your pancreas, you make it work harder. And if you've already got a sickly pancreas, then just constantly stressing it with a crappy diet just does you more harm. So the advice there is, you know, we need to aim for weight loss using a diet that is rich in vegetables and rich in chicken, turkey, fish. Aim for lean protein and lots of vegetables as the mainstay of the diet, and then supplement with smaller portions of potato, rice, pasta, and breads.
Okay, let's say someone actually has an advanced case of diabetes. How would that person manage diabetes? I want to ask a question. Is there a balance between high blood pressure and, I mean, high sugar and low sugar? How would you balance that? And is...
Hello?